Hey everyone, before we start the show, I just want to put some really quick context into everything. When we get around to Jared talking about sports, the Antonio Brown accusations hadn't come out yet. So just for the sake of context and the way that conversation goes, I just wanted to throw that out ahead of time. Just to let you know, but enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
I think that this world, it needs men that are willing to make the hard call.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Ain't no thing like me, Stephanie.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
Matt's coming. No. When do we start?
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm Zach, here with the Polly to my Rocky, Jared. But what do we got today? I don't know, a bunch of stuff. There's the news, This Week in Comics History. Probably too long of hearing about football.
What do you mean too long of hearing about football?
Oh my God, the second it came back, every other word wasn't even that inconsistent.
What, my tweets?
No, I don't look at that.
Oh, thanks.
I've been really bad about Twitter recently. I've barely tweeted in the last 2 weeks.
I haven't noticed.
It's a struggle, man. I'm just not a social media guy.
Oh, you need to be in this day and age.
No, I don't.
Sure you do. Connect with the people, man.
For the sake of my IP, I post, but
when
it comes to anything else, no.
Okay, what else?
Oh, continuing the trend of 2019 being the year of weird crap, we're going to do one of the more gimmicky villains out there who just won't go away either.
What do you mean he just won't go away?
He's consistent.
What, he's back?
A lot. That's, forever.
Damn.
Yeah.
He might be my second least favorite villain.
Well, he's around a lot more.
That son of a bitch.
And your questions. Do you have anything up front?
No, no, not really.
Well, in that case, we can just hop right into the news.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
The Mandalorian's a show that's happening.
Yes, we've talked about it before.
But apparently part of this first season is going to be showing how the First Order came to power after, whoopsie-daisy, they blew up the government with nothing in place to actually, you know, replace it.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
When do you overthrow a government and have nothing in place?
Yeah, no plan.
Yeah, that's going to affect planets and planets of people.
A galaxy, perhaps.
This is a slightly flawed plan.
Yeah, not so good.
Step one, overthrow the government. Step two, Step three, peace.
Step four, have to overthrow a new evil government.
Ah, man. They really should have hammered out step two.
And you start back at one. I'm not going to try and sing it, but you know the song. It's getting stuck in your head right now.
That is a really bad plan. They didn't have a plan.
They just wanted freedom from oppression.
I mean, if it had just stayed like the original trilogy, that would have been fine. But now that there's been this whole other world.
Yeah, it's kind of like the in the movie The Life of Brian, where the people's...
Brian!
The People's Front of Judea, or they're the Judean People's Front. I can't remember. They were like, we're going to overthrow Rome, but what has Rome ever done for us? They brought aqueducts, medicine, health, a common language, peace. It's the same thing.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. Romans, go home. Conjugate the verb to go. I want it written all over the square in the morning, or I'm going to cut your balls off.
I'm not surprised this is going to be a big part of it. Just kind of showing how, you know, maybe things are like the Wild West now that there's no one to really enforce laws.
Ah. Will there be more Mos Eisleys?
I'm sure there'll be other bars. They love going to bars. Also, they're going to be on Tatooine, so yes.
Could we find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy?
I mean, they kind of did that again in Force Awakens. Like, look, a different one.
No, that wasn't as scum and villainy-ish. It seemed like an actually pretty reputable place.
I don't know. They got turned over immediately, and then it got blowed up. So we'll never know.
It still felt kind of, you know, decently reasonable.
It at least had a lady with a crush on a Wookiee.
Well, who doesn't have a crush on a Wookiee?
More news around the Spider-Man movies. Sony has said the door is closed for the time being, and the Russo brothers came out and said that they were not surprised that this fell apart at all.
Yeah.
They were like,
kind of a bummer.
It's something that, you know, people didn't get to see, obviously, you know, behind closed doors, was how hard it was to actually hammer that deal out and get two big companies that have a ton of IP and a ton of money riding on the line to actually play nice. Like, we saw how hard it was, and that's why we tried to wrap everything up for that story, because we didn't think it was going to keep going.
Meh. I'm kind of bummed. I want to know what was going to happen now that they've outed Peter.
I'm sure they'll probably pick up that story point, but just ignore everything else. I don't know. Hey, he got another good movie in there, so the cliffhangery aspect is now kind of annoying, though.
A little bit.
Like, before it was like a hook. I was like, oh my God! But now it's like,
Now I'll never know.
Now they can refer to him and without ever officially addressing him, like, oh yeah, the kid went into hiding after people found out.
Yeah.
There we go. Wrote that line.
Good job.
Pay me, Disney.
Wow. Ooh, he needs that Netflix money.
I don't know. While these are big billion-dollar companies, at the same time, I still think it's... I find it hard to believe that they won't be able to hash something out in the next couple of years.
I'm sure they will, but they don't owe you anything.
No, five good movies, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Four good movies and one that's fine.
Yeah. It can also just... You know, they can... Like you said, the ending is now written itself if they ever... And he's like, whatever happened to Spider-Man? Oh, yeah, he went into hiding.
They can't say that name.
Whatever happened to Peter Parker?
Whatever happened to that wall-crawling boy?
Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy that was really young and, you know, supposed to be the next franchise banner carrier?
It's Rhodey now.
Yeah, it's Sam.
Oh, yeah, it is, but I was just giving someone else a movie that doesn't have one.
Oh.
Everyone else gets one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, gosh, Iron Man's gone. What are we going to do without an Iron Man? I'm over. What are we going to do without an Iron Man?
Korg!
He gets a movie. A little bit of Joker news. Or not Joker, sorry. I don't care. It's kind of how the Joker news is going. I'm kind of annoyed at every article that's being written about it, so I don't care is my official Joker news.
Okay.
But Batman news.
Yes.
Christian Bale was asked what he thought of Robert Pattinson as Batman and if he had any advice for him. He's like, yeah, you know, he's a good actor. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with it. It's like, any advice? I'll say the same thing I said to Affleck. Make sure that there's a way for you to pee by yourself. Get something in that suit, because nothing makes you feel less like a superhero than having to have help in the bathroom.
Yeah. Make sure it has a zipper.
And people asked Ben Affleck for his advice, and, oh, there were crickets. Wow. No one asked him.
Actually, try.
Look, you can try once, and if you don't like it, I don't know, just show up drunk every day.
Wow, interesting thought.
That's basically what Justice League was. I'm convinced he was. It's not funny because he was falling off the wagon, but boy, that performance reads that way.
Yeah, he was really kind of just mailing it in.
That's it for movies. Bit of comic book news. Doomsday Clock. The, I don't know, 2+ year series that should have been only 1 year. We're definitely getting close to year 3 at this point. Of the Watchmen sequel is now screwing with continuity. Because it takes so damn long in between issues. There's a bunch of stuff that's going to be like world-changing at the end of it. And there's still a whole issue to go, and it's not coming out for at least 3 months.
How does that make you feel, like having to wait that long?
I'm bleeding subscriptions on it, because people are like, I'll wait till it's all out, because I don't remember what happens.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's really, that's even my reaction as a reader. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It's going to be easier to read in one big chunk.
So you wait till it comes out in trade?
Yeah, they're even split. There's going to be two hardcovers initially. One of them I know I've already ordered. The second one clearly is not orderable yet because I can't even order the last issue.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I'm bleeding people on this one, and people are losing interest because it's been so long, and now people are getting annoyed because it's screwing with the story of their other books. We want a tightly knit continuity. Ah, like a year of delays has really screwed that up.
I guess we're not getting that tightly knit continuity.
No. So yeah, Doomsday Clock, messing with everyone. Here's a good DC story, just because I like this guy. The Suicide Squad got canceled at issue 50, a couple of months ago. But it's getting a reboot. And normally, I don't care about this property. I don't really care about the characters. I've never really liked the book. But the writer they have on it makes you go, okay, all right, I'm in. Tom Taylor is going to be writing Suicide Squad. He's one of my favorite writers right now. Not a lot to say on that, because it literally just got announced today, but yeah, he's good. I guess he's going to introduce, he's Australian, so he's going to introduce an Aboriginal superhero, or I guess in this case, supervillain, but, you know, write what you know, I guess, Australia.
Fosters. Remember those commercials?
Yes.
Those are great.
I've never had one of those. I see them. I've never had one.
It's beer.
My understanding is it's supposed to be pretty gross.
I mean, you probably wouldn't enjoy it.
That's my impression too, yeah.
I don't mind it.
I believe that, too.
I'll drink it. You know why? Because it says beer on the label.
Great. Incoming!
Where?
You have to say it like that because there's an exclamation point at the end of it. Marvel is going to be doing a murder mystery in December titled Incoming!
Oh, my.
Not a lot is known about this at this point. There's a teaser image of a dead body, feet are sticking out underneath a sheet, and the body is surrounded by the Fantastic Four and members of the Avengers, which really does not narrow it down to who it is, other than those specific people that are around the body.
Incoming!
Yeah, and it's a person that's white. I can tell you that based on their feet.
Maybe the blood's drained out of their feet, and they just look white.
But they've announced some big cosmic villains. There's going to be Korvac, the Maker, which is an evil Reed Richards from an alternate universe, Magneto, Apocalypse. But whatever, I like a good whodunit. I like a mystery.
Incoming!
If you do it well.
Like I like mysteries too. They're fun.
I like to be not have it be obvious, but be able to find the hints. And if you go back, be able to be like, oh, okay. Well,
that makes sense now.
Like, okay, yeah, yeah. And like even stuff in the art, a good example I can think of this is Death of X, where Cyclops was dead, but he was dead the whole time. And it was just like a projection that Emma Frost was doing. And if you looked at certain scenes, like their bodies were moving the same way because she was just projected. So it's cool stuff like that. Like, I don't mind going back. I hate whodunits where there's no way you could figure it out.
Like, all of a sudden, it's like, it's going to be this person. And then it's like, nope, it's this person because reasons.
I've seen stuff like, I forget what, I think it was it Westworld? So, like, they totally changed their ending because someone on the internet guessed it and read it. So they changed everything. And I guess, I don't know, I've never seen it. The example that I always go to for like hating a whodunit is Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow.
I didn't see that one.
It's infuriating because it's this whole like, who's the headless horseman? Who's the headless horseman? Is it a prank? Is it this? What is it? What is it? And then they get to the end of the movie. They're like, it was Christopher Walken all along. You know who wasn't in the movie for a single second until then?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Well, maybe, well, he was a headless horseman. He was in disguise.
They play it off like it's this big reveal when there was no way of ever getting there.
Oh.
So that movie annoys me.
Were you thinking it was going to be Ichabod Crane?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Spooky season's right around the corner, man.
I don't want to watch that movie again. It sucked.
We should watch it for the show.
No. You know what? I already told you the twist. It was Christopher Walken.
I'll forget and I'll be like, oh, wow, it was Christopher Walken. Totally guessed that. Saw it coming the whole way. What about, speaking of movies, I watched a movie last night, and this is a little off topic, but I said Spooky season's right around the corner. Had never watched the entirety of the movie. It was on TV the other night, and I watched it, and I was really entertained. Zombieland.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Did you know there's a Zombieland 2 coming out?
Yeah.
Double Tap.
Yeah, I think we brought it up when it happened.
Oh, maybe.
Or when they did a trailer for it. Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I want to watch it now. I enjoyed it. Woody Harrelson is a national treasure.
That's really the movie that jump-started his, or kick-started it back up again, because he had kind of gone away.
Yes.
And as soon as Zombieland happened, everyone was like, oh, right, we like him.
Yeah, he was in Cheers and White Man Can't Jump.
He was in a bunch of stuff in the 90s, then he kind of went away for most of the 2000s. And then when Zombieland happened, it was like career resurgence in a big way.
Yeah. Because
he was a lot of fun in that movie.
That movie was really, really good. Jesse Eisenberg was good in that movie.
I know, he wasn't totally insufferable yet.
Wow. Emma Stone.
Yeah, I generally like her and everything.
Yes.
Like La La Land's a little overrated, but whatever. Beyond that, it's not that she's even bad in that. She's good in it, but I don't know why I brought it up then. A little bit more comic news. Doctor Strange is going away, but hey, Doctor Strange is coming back.
Wow.
Yeah, because you need to have number ones, because otherwise people don't pick up books. Going to be by the same writer, Mark Waid. He's going to be launching Doctor Strange Surgeon Supreme.
Oh, wow. A good medical drama like ER or Chicago Hope.
I never really watched medical dramas.
Oh.
I saw some of House.
House is really good, too. Good call on that. Should have included that. So a good medical drama like ER, Chicago Hope, or House?
Well, thank God you saved it.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's essentially what if, it's not a what if story, but it's really hard to use that turn of phrase without sounding like it's a what if book. But what if, you know, Doctor Strange's hands hadn't been destroyed and he continued on as a doctor?
What if, indeed.
And last bit of comics news. Donny Cates, very hot writer, sells really well, but he's been doing a bunch of cosmic-esque books since like 2017, most of which have done really well. Thanos Wins, Death of the Inhumans, Silver Surfer Black, Cosmic Ghost Rider. He's been doing Guardians of the Galaxy, but it came out today that the culmination of all those stories, which are relatively intertwined,
yes,
is all coming to a head to kind of wrap up everything in Guardians of the Galaxy number 12. So if you've read any of those other books, I don't know, probably hop on Guardians. It's pretty good. It's big, fun space stuff.
Except, yes, with a hot rider.
Well, there's a hot rider. It's the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Yes, fair enough.
But that's it for comics news and all the news that I can think of. Did I skip anything? No, I didn't. So from there, we're going to move on to This Week in Comics History.
Superhero landing coming up.
This Week in Comics History.
Holy crap, was this a big week for comics history. I had to cut a lot of stuff.
You said that every week.
No, some weeks they're small. Well, there's always something big that happens. I mean, there was just a lot. Had to get choosy with this list.
Mm.
This week in 1973 in Special Marvel Edition number 15.
Special.
Yeah. Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu, made his first appearance. I bet that book's gone up in price recently, now that he's getting a movie.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Couple other first appearances. In 2001, in Alias number one, Jessica Jones made her first appearance with Marvel's Max line with adult storytelling.
Ooh.
Mm. In 1982, Marvel had a graphic novel series going on before they just, you know, were releasing graphic novels. So in Marvel graphic novel number four, The New Mutants first premiered. Their movie is not affecting sale prices of that one.
Because they're not getting one.
Or the other one, when a movie comes out and it's bad, it just doesn't affect anyone's prices.
That too.
I've seen that. I've seen that at both ends. I'm like, this is going to be big, nothing. And then sometimes I'm woefully unprepared.
I'm usually woefully unprepared.
When Black Panther happened, I was not ready.
I don't think a lot of people were.
No. But I was like, I couldn't keep up with just all the people who were coming in for Black Panther stuff after that movie.
Oh.
Compared to like Batman versus Superman came out, I'm like, all right, now is the time. Get all this. Strike while the iron's hot.
You couldn't have been more wrong.
Very tepid.
By the way, speaking of Black Panther, it was Michael Bennett, who plays for the Patriots, when they do the little player introductions on the bottom of the screen. Mm-hmm. And they usually like, you know, Tom Brady from Michigan. He's like, Michael Bennett, Wakanda forever!
Just always think of that, or I guess multiple Key and Peele sketches.
Yes.
It was just a dial-up tone. I think that was my favorite.
Oh, the dial, the internet dial tone?
Yeah.
Like Buckshank McGraw.
Ultimate Spider-Man first appeared this week in 2001, kicking off the Ultimate Universe. Is the regular Marvel Universe too confusing for you? Well, this is going to be a nice streamlined one that won't be confusing at all.
Wrong.
Got very confusing, and then they had to blow it up. So, a couple other quickie first appearances. The Scorpion first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 19. A private investigator is hired by J. Jonah Jameson to hunt Spider-Man in a scorpion suit, but then he can't get out of it, and then he goes after Jameson. It's a fun time.
Oh, wow. So it's not to be confused with The Scorpion King, that really bad CGI movie with The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't a good movie.
Talk about overcoming adversity in your movie career. The Rock is that.
I know. Speaking of Inhumans, The Inhumans first appeared in Fantastic Four number 45, written by Stan Lee, Jack Kirby. That TV show also did nothing for that book, but that's a pretty pricey book anyway. And then let's move on, because I guess it's September. This is when things premiere on TV. Or it's when they used to premiere on TV.
Yeah, it's when they usually do. Before they had mid-season breaks. And
I mean, now there's no time off. Like, a show can premiere at any given time.
Yeah, their new fall lineup. Nope, there's no such thing as a new fall lineup anymore.
Not really. Let's start back in the past. The Spider-Man animated series came out in 1967, premiered this week. Still one of the best theme songs of all time.
Plus the best meme generator of all time.
Also that. The show mostly adapted early Spider-Man cartoon or early Spider-Man issues pretty faithfully. I mean, the animation isn't great. The voice acting is very 1960s.
But the theme is awesome.
It is. I mean, it's still being used in those new Spider-Man movies. I love hearing that big orchestral version of
yes.
it. Like, why mess with this?
He does whatever a spider theme. Can.
Yeah, seminal show. Moving up a couple or a decade and a half, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe premiered
yeah.
this week in 1983.
Yeah. I know we're talking. Yeah.
I thought we were talking before. I thought no. Spider-Man was kind of a big one.
Yeah, this is also big.
Yeah, some people like the show.
You don't because you're a heathen.
It's the animation isn't very good.
That's the point. It's just enjoyable. It was quick and easy to rip them off and make, you know, episode after episode because they redo a lot of it. Like, also, speaking of one of the great meme generators of our time.
It's a big toy commercial, as a lot of things are, but still.
By the power of Grayskull. He-Man.
And the big one in 1992, premiering on Fox Kids.
Is that Batman the Animated Series?
Batman the Animated Series.
I knew it.
Actually, it didn't premiere on the Fox. It went there, but it premiered on primetime.
Did it really?
Yeah, originally.
All right.
With the not-so-great two-parter, The Cat and the Claw, I think it's called. It's not a very good one. It was also one of those shows where they just kind of aired them whatever, like it was not in production order. So weird they started off with kind of a bad one.
Yeah.
But still, 92, baby. And still probably the best version of Batman. Stand by it. I think a lot of people do, too. This isn't a hot take.
No, it's not like you're going out on a limb.
You know that version of Batman that everyone loves? I'm going to say I love it, too.
That's fair. See, what's wrong with the C that's on the He-Man right there?
That is adult-rated content that you can't share on this show.
Nope.
I've seen that. I don't even know what that is.
Don't worry about it.
That'll do it for This Week in Comics History. So from post-credits to post-game, It's time to move on to Jared Sports Reports.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. Bare-chested. The guy is drunk. But there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
It's time for another Jared Sports Report.
I'm just sharing some He-Man memes, that's all.
They're all very inappropriate.
I don't know what that language is, but I can tell the last word must mean something.
I'm going to say orgasmo is probably a pretty easily translatable word.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, the Jared Sports Reports. We'll start off with some relatively big news before we get into the actual exciting and fun news. The Boston Red Sox have been eliminated from the American League East, officially eliminated from the American League East running, and they are pretty much on the verge of being eliminated from the wild card. They are 8 games back of the Oakland Athletics. Their elimination number is 11, so any combination of 11 Athletics wins or Boston Red Sox losses, and that's pretty much it. So they're pretty much done. They're going to miss the postseason after
Didn't someone get fired?
I'm getting there. After winning the World Series just a year ago. So Dave Dombrowski, who is the president of baseball operations, essentially the GM, was fired, and they're going to be getting a new search. He was not there very long. Granted, he did bring them to a World Series title, but he also pillaged the farm system and really kind of a lot of work to be done for the next GM of the Red Sox. So they're pretty much done. And it was kind of a news dump by the Red Sox. They kind of hit it over the weekend. They kind of, you know, snuck it out. Actually, on Sunday night, they mentioned they were firing Dombrowski while the Patriots were dropping their banner number 6. And then to kind of make things even, you know, a little more suspect, Monday night at Fenway Park, guess who threw out the first pitch? To help,
Ortiz.
Yes, to be another diversionary tactic. Oh, you're mad at us? Here's somebody you love in his first appearance since getting shot in the Dominican Republic.
You may remember her from such things as being in the hospital.
Yes, or, you know, being shot up in a Dominican nightclub in a case of supposed mistaken identity.
It's a hard man to mistake.
Allegedly. Alleged mistaken identity. Now let's get to the good stuff. The New England Patriots made a big splash before they even started their season officially. What if I told you that the Patriots hosting the Steelers, the only two teams who have won 6 Super Bowls, hosting them on Sunday Night Football, giving up banner number 6 would be a secondary story for the Patriots to start the season?
This is a saga.
You bet it is. So Antonio Brown, over the course of 48 hours, goes from getting fined and suspended by the team and not playing on Monday Night Football to being reinstated by the team, playing on Monday Night Football, releasing a video on YouTube of a phone conversation he and John Gruden, his coach in Oakland, had with weird clips of family and kids over it, to him getting released outright by the Raiders and then being signed that same afternoon by the New England Patriots on Saturday. So in the course of 48 hours, he goes from not playing to playing to not even being on the team to going to an AFC rival.
And what do you I've heard rumors that this was all orchestrated by like a marketing firm. So like, if you want to get out of here, we can show you how.
That's some of the reporting I've read, is he kind of hired some social media experts to say, hey, you want out? This is how
you bomb.
Yeah, this is how you make it not look good. There was a video of him that was released of him finding out he had been released by the Raiders, jumping up and down, running around his yard shirtless, going, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Actually, I think the word he just used was freedom. Yeah, baby, freedom. But the Raiders did exhaust options. They tried to trade him. Nobody really wanted to take chances on him except for the New England Patriots.
I saw on Twitter before he got signed, that was all that, when I clicked on it, that was just the entire thing of like his name and the Patriots was just people predicting it and also pleading that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. So essentially, if you go way back, he wanted to get traded from the Steelers, and one of the places he wanted to go was New England. But the Steelers were like, we're not going to trade him to a conference rival, so we're going to trade you to Oakland instead. Pittsburgh got pretty much, I mean, Oakland gave up a couple of picks. Pittsburgh got a couple of picks, and they got rid of Antonio Brown, which is they wanted. Then the Raiders just outright released him. So the Raiders are the big losers. They lose 2 draft picks, although they didn't really have to give much money up because he lost all his guaranteed money when they fined him because that was part of his incentives deal. So signed a 1-year, $15 million contract with the Patriots.
And showed everyone his gross feet.
Yeah, the frostbitten feet are kind of a thing. But, I mean, he certainly adds to that receiving core, which is already stacked. And then
everything I was seeing was basically saying Patriots are a lock. As long as people stay healthy.
As long as people stay healthy, the defense is solid. And, I mean, you're going to have three guys on the field at once with Brown, Gordon, and Edelman to guard. Plus you have James White and Sonny Michel coming out of the backfield. Tell me how you're going to do it.
The most hated franchise in sports continues to be hated.
Yes. Then they go in and beat the Steelers 33-3 on Monday Night Football. And Sunday Night Football. They did not play on Monday. So there was that. Tom Brady looked phenomenal, and here we are. He's expected to probably get some limited reps in their game at Miami this coming Monday.
Nick Foles is probably done for the season.
Nick Foles, broken collarbone. Probably not done for the season, but he's going to be out probably 6 to 8 weeks easily. Probably more like 8 to 12.
Was it Miami? Are they the ones that got their asses handed to them?
Oh, yeah, like 50-something to like, it was not good. It was so bad that there was reports that multiple players were on the phones with their agent before that afternoon was over saying they wanted to be traded. Because Miami is pretty much trying to tank to get top picks in the next draft.
Are there not rules against that?
Technically, but I mean, can only put on the field who you got on the field. So it's going to be a rough season for Miami, perhaps, considering the number of people that want out of there.
And the Giants.
The Giants have some issues. The Bills and Jets put on it was a close game. I was going to say it was a good game. Bills Mafia is back, baby. I love Bills Mafia for no other reason than to watch them jump through tables and throw adult devices on fields.
I'm sure you're doing a fantasy league this year.
Yes, I am.
How you do?
Lost. Baker Mayfield cost me big time. Thurston Long is 0-1.
Great.
Yep. I lost to multiple scorgasms this week.
Great.
Yep. Well, I thought Thurston Long is a pretty good.
No, I understand what you're doing.
Yeah. It's about beer.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's about all I can think of for sports reports. Football's back. Yeah. In the first half of the first round of games on Sunday, two people were ejected. One guy was bleeding all over himself, and something else crazy happened. I can't remember.
I saw some of the Eagles-Redskins game, and I saw that thing just completely go 180 degrees.
Oh, rookie Hollywood Brown, who's related to Antonio Brown. First, he was a rookie. Well, he is a rookie still. First two catches went for touchdowns. Over 100 yards receiving on two catches and two touchdowns were his first two plays, or first two receptions as an NFL player.
In the world of basketball, USA qualifies for the Olympics next year.
Shocker.
Well, it's not a guarantee.
Zachary.
You still got to put in the work.
Zachary. It's pretty much a guarantee that the Team USA was going to make the Olympics.
No, they did.
They're not like the men's soccer team choking their way out of the World Cup.
But now it's down to elimination games. These group phases are done. They're 5-0, but
Zachary, they're going to win.
They might not.
Don't be a downer.
I hope they. I mean, I'm waking up at 7 a.m. to watch a game tomorrow.
Oh, poor Zach has to get up at 7 o'clock to watch basketball.
I know. It's rough.
I know. Guess who's already halfway to work at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Going to be eating my cereal.
Yeah, guess who's already halfway to work by 7 o'clock? Most everybody.
Yeah, sounds like they're a problem.
Yeah, I feel minimal sympathy for you and your 7 o'clock wake up to watch basketball.
It's earlier than I usually get up.
Yeah, you sick man.
I don't know. I like FIBA. I like the rules a bit better. It's a bit rougher, and stuff that would normally be called for offensive goaltending doesn't get counted, so you get to watch a lot more cool plays.
Yeah.
So it'd be fun if the competition was better, but I like the rules a bit better.
I'm not paying attention. I'm going to be blunt and honest. I could not care less.
Which Brazil's coach got thrown out of the game in like the first 7 minutes because of two technical fouls. So good. That was fun.
Good for him.
Then he refused to leave the building.
I could not care less.
How's that not fun?
One of the Jaguars players who got ejected for, I think he threw a punch, he kind of threw a hissy fit and kind of like, you know how kids, when they're throwing like a temper tantrum and they're being carried by their parents, will go limp and try and like escape?
Yeah.
He did that to two grown men. It's a grown man playing football, went limp to try and escape. Yeah, you don't get that in FIBA, do you?
There was almost a fight.
Well, almost a fight doesn't count as a fight.
I don't even know. Would you just get fined there?
What?
Oh, if you got into some, because I mean, what are they going to do? Suspend you for, I guess, the rest of the tournament?
They could do that, yes.
Whatever. It's fun to watch. Hopefully they'll win. We'll know by next week.
Well, we'll see.
Because it ends on Sunday, tomorrow morning, and after this show comes out, France.
All right. That's it. That's all I got for sports.
You know, I tried to talk to you about the football stuff.
You did. Doesn't mean I'm going to go out of my way to watch FIBA basketball.
And all I get from you is I could care less.
I could not care less, actually. Saying I could care less implies that I do care a little bit.
Where's your national pride?
It's football, man. America's game. You don't hear about basketball night in America. It's football night in America.
It's because like one out of three every day is basketball day in America.
Is it really, though? The national champion, The world champion for basketball isn't even in America anymore while they're in North America. They're Canadian.
First time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll start talking about Canadian football if you want. They got teams like the Rough Riders and the Eskimos.
Do they come out to DMX?
No.
Well, then they're making a mistake.
Probably.
My team was called the Rough Riders, because I bet you can play that on TV.
Shall we?
I guess we can move on. We haven't done one of these in a little while. It's time for a Jared's Reading Corner.
It's Jared's Reading Corner.
This week, we're going to be talking about Daredevil number 8, The Stiltman Cometh.
Soaring to still greater heights of glory.
Let's talk about Daredevil.
Yes, let's. Matt Murdock, the man without fear.
Yeah, a lot of what Marvel did in the early days was all not all hits, but mostly they're fun to read. It's fun to go back, and the biggies are Fantastic Four and Spider-Man. Thor is a lot of fun. But then there are some of them which are just, you know, fine. They'll get better over time. Everyone knows Daredevil from the 80s and the Frank Miller run and kind of most things beyond that. I've been pretty solid. He's kind of an auteur kind of character where you get to do weird, dark things with him.
Mm.
Except in the 60s, it was an every other month title, and it, you know, we're on issue 8 for this. We've already gone through 3 artists in 8 issues. Daredevil was just getting passed around because no one knew what to do with it. The big issue came from the co-creator, Bill Everett, was kind of a big-time alcoholic. So, yeah, he only did one issue. The co-creator got one whole issue in because he couldn't hit his deadlines anymore.
Wow.
So kind of depressing. In Daredevil's Rogues Gallery, for a very long time, some of them have survived, like the Gladiator, the Owl. But not great overall, because this sucker, we've already said the name, the Stilt Man.
Oh, this guy.
He's one of Daredevil's most reoccurring villains. It's mostly used as a joke now, but holy hell, they tried to like introduce him like he's something special.
No, he's not.
He's just a guy on stilts.
Yeah.
Not even stilts. He's a guy with mechanical legs that make him go up in the air.
Yeah, hydraulic legs. I want to know where he keeps all the rest of the abilities of these legs. They're so tall. They look like they'd be structurally insufficient. For him to be able to go to those heights, he could not walk with those legs.
No, I think to take a step, you would have to like fully, almost entirely retract one of them before getting it out.
Has no knees. No knees.
But Daredevil, you know what he's about. He saves a young girl.
Yes, he does.
From a car that's out of control.
Yes, because it's driving itself. Those damn Google driving cars.
It's just a nail.
Yeah.
A nail in the gas pedal.
Here's what I want to know. The person who did this, they cut the brakes, smart on them, so it doesn't stop itself. But then they nail the gas pedal to the floor. The thing's going to start driving.
Yeah.
Supposedly down streets that, you know, aren't all straight, that have some curves and bends. How does this thing continue to track forward?
Well, that's New York, baby. Grid design.
But more importantly, the person who nailed the gas pedal down, wouldn't they be in the vehicle when it started to accelerate?
Well, then they just got out on their stilts.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. There's got to be a better way.
What I don't buy is Daredevil starts driving this car. He's blind.
He's got the power of sonic location. What I don't buy is the fact that
there has to be a limit to that.
He's hanging out of the vehicle while driving it. That's more unbelievable.
There's also a bomb.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And not only is there a bomb, there's also a whirlybird.
I like how the bomb, he's like, it's getting louder, so that means it's closer to detonation. Is that how that works?
Hey, according to him, it is.
I don't think it is. There's going to be a lot of things according to him in this I don't think are real.
Probably not. So meanwhile, while this is happening, this asshole, Stiltman, is robbing a helicopter.
If they just give him a briefcase full of cash, they're
why don't the people in the helicopter just fly away from him? I would think they're faster.
Take a slight left turn.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid him altogether. Oh, look, a man on stilts.
Oh, man, he's really stationary.
Yeah.
Instead of giving him all of our money, I don't know, go anywhere else.
Let's go higher. Let's fly into him. Let's, you know.
But Daredevil figures out that the car exploding was just something to distract him and the police. And he goes and he uses his...
Billy club.
No, his snooper scope inside of his billy club.
The snooper scope. Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, it's just this little nipple that comes out of it, and he can hear things extra good now.
Yeah, he's pretty much snooping on everybody.
I do like going down the side of the page. They do kind of an X-ray shot of what's inside the billy club. That's this art's done by Wally Wood. To be fair, the art in this is pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I like some of the cover.
I like the diagram.
I like the diagram. I like some of the conversations that he's listening into. For instance, this one man, hey, Charlie, can you lend me a sawbuck? I got a heavy date tonight.
Well, that's 60s daddy-o smooth jiving talk. I don't know.
You didn't know what a sawbuck was.
I did not.
I did.
No, you didn't. You were $10 off.
Well, I was.
Call you out on your crap.
Okay, well, I was close.
But, you know.
Sawbuck is 10 bucks, not 20.
By the way.
Next time I'll be like, hey, Zach, I need a sawbuck, and you give me 20. That would have been cool.
Matt returns to his office where he's talking to Karen Page. There's a love triangle there. She's like, Matt, why won't you go to that doctor I told you about who can fix your eyes? Because apparently you could do that in the 60s.
Yeah, just unblind somebody.
Cure blindness, yeah. But, you know, he wants to marry her, but he can't because there's a love triangle. And also, how could she ever love a blind man? That didn't come up in this one, but it comes up a lot in these early ones. And a lot of the time she's like, you're not a full person. You're blind. Like, yeesh.
Wow, that's harsh.
And thank God no one blind was reading this.
Ooh.
I'm working my way through old Daredevil. Yeah. I'm not sure when this stops, but I can tell you right now it goes on for way too long. Way too long.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Poor Foggy.
And he meets with a client who says that his boss stole his invention. But Matt has no time for that because he has to go do some 1960s exercises.
Yeah, in his really short shorts and penny loafers.
You know, good arch support there.
Yeah,
or none.
Quite a strange ordeal here. I do, again, like they do a little cutaway. You get some neat exposition about his secret apartment, which he's lending under another name. How convenient for him, though, that in Hell's Kitchen, it's a secret apartment with a secret sliding bookcase and a gym built in the basement. How convenient for him.
But he decides to go out and find the Stilt Man. But he has a bunch of tech inside of his helmet. Bet you didn't know that. But not only did you not know that, did you know that the reason he has devil horns is because they're radar antenna?
I didn't know that until I read this.
Lame. That is lame.
No, it's not lame. It's so super lame.
Oh my God. Like, boy, that really just, your credibility has fallen.
Poor Daredevil.
But whatever, he's thinking about, he doesn't know who really stole from who, technology-wise, from his new client. He goes out and he finds the Stilt Man. My God.
The Stilt Man is, well, I don't even know what he's doing. He's just like walking around town.
He's going to steal stuff. That's kind of his deal. Being very conspicuous is his plan. How can I make sure everyone sees me stealing everything? I know, be taller than buildings.
Yeah. Also,
I can get a quick escape that way.
There's one panel in which I can only assume it's the Brooklyn Bridge that he's stepping over. How is he not going to fall over, first of all, because his legs are way too far apart?
He should trip a lot.
Yeah. Also, he's going to like have to step over this bridge, but his weight is not going to be in a position that he can do anything about it. Because, again, he has no knees.
Daredevil falls off of his leg because it's slippery. He has a slippery little leg.
Well, no, he in Daredevil's defense, he did drop some lubricant down his leg.
Slippery little leg.
Yeah. It's like Stiltman peed his leg.
But I guess, you know, he stops chasing Stilt Man and he goes back to his office with his client and he's like, we'll find out who has my stolen technology now. And they go to his boss's house only to find the Stilt Man legs. What a coincidence.
Yes, Mr. Caxton of Caxton Laboratories.
And Caxton's like, what the hell are those? And Daredevil's client, what's his name?
That guy.
Mr. Day.
Yes. Wilbur Day.
Wilbur Dash.
Will, yeah. So anyway, Caxton comes out with a quote, recoilless gun.
That's impressive.
Yes. No recoil on it. Just
a lot of fun technology in this book.
Yeah, but here's the twist.
Day strikes him down. He's like, aha, these are my legs all along. Not really, but he just figures Daredevil can't see him. Like, hit him, and then he's going to hit he's going to hit Matt.
And Matt's like, got to take one for the team here.
Because he doesn't know that I know. He's just trying to frame his boss. So Day puts on his Stilt Man legs, walks away, doesn't put on his full costume, so he looks extra silly.
Yeah, but he also takes and steals a particle shrinking ray, which is what he really wanted all along. So he can shrink things into non-existence.
Yeah, why not?
Because why, you know, yeah.
Daredevil chases him, keeps on shrinking things. He's like, no one can stop me with my tall legs. Oh, we forgot to mention this one scene where he uses his tall legs and a vacuum cleaner to vacuum out people's money.
To which I go, is that a blanket vacuum cleaner? And he said, yes, it is.
Twas.
It's his Kirby.
It is.
Better than a Floby.
But Daredevil uses his billy club, gets up to the top, accidentally flips the shrinking ray on Stilt Man, and he shrinks into non-existence.
Yeah, can't see him anymore. He's gone. And then in the really strange turn of events at the end, Caxton's like, I'm gonna sue you guys for trespassing and knocking me out. And then Matt Murdock's like, well, Mr. Day's not gonna sue you. He's like, then I'm not gonna sue you either.
Yeah, wrapped up nice and neat.
Yep.
Except Karen's mad that he won't go to the doctor because he's not a real man and not a whole man if he's blind.
Yeah, well.
And then, I because Stiltman does return many, many times, you want to know how he returns?
How?
Shrinking Ray wears off.
I guess it makes sense. How did he eat? How did he, like, take care of himself during that time?
They basically said it's a tale too strange to tell.
I guess so.
But, yeah, so that's Daredevil number 8, one of the goofier villains in existence.
Yeah, you could say that.
This is probably the most egregious example. That's, I mean, the Leapfrog is really bad there. That's just a guy with springs in his shoes who dresses up
frog. Wait, hold on, time. There's a guy named the Leapfrog?
Yeah. Early Daredevil villains weren't great.
When does the Kingpin come into all this?
The 80s.
Oh.
When they steal him from Spider-Man.
Well, they should have done a lot of it sooner.
The only other thing probably worth mentioning about Stiltman is that in the Daredevil TV series, they kept on hinting about him.
Oh, well, I'm glad they didn't do it.
The first, because the show went for 3 seasons, they didn't bring it up at all in season 3, and they never officially brought it up. The guy that was developing Daredevil suits, Gladiator, he's a bit of a seamstress.
Oh, a stitcher of things.
Constantly in the background of his shop, you could see Stiltman's costume, and in between seasons 1 and seasons 2, it became more complete.
Ah.
But they never did anything with it. It was just a fun background gag.
Because,
yeah, how could you pull it off?
I don't know. How could you pull it off?
I don't know. Not well. How does he compare to the Plant Man?
Well, they're both dumb, first of all. Let's be clear. Second of all, at least the Plant Man, like, has the ability to, like, make things happen.
Make a tree box.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he has a marketable skill. Still, man, not so much.
He did have bulletproof armor. That's something.
It's true. He had bulletproof armor, and he had that.
He had a really powerful vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, more like, you know. Home cleaning man, maybe. Yeah. High-rise apartment man.
Maybe he could go to a rough neighborhood, clean people's houses, don't have to worry about getting shot.
That's a good point. Yeah, he can, like, get to those hard-to-reach places that the, you know, the hose might not be able to reach.
They're probably, like, you'd probably have to go up, like, maybe a foot.
Yeah, well, I mean, still.
Those are really high ceilings.
Exactly.
There we go.
If you had vaulted ceilings, you know, maybe he could do windows. Look at this vacuum, make turn into, like, a little squeegee and do window washing.
Many practical things the Stilt Man could do.
Yes.
But, yeah, so that's it for that. It's not a great issue. Early Daredevil, I can't recommend it that much. They recycle, like, the same 6 villains, and none of them are very good.
That's why he always wins.
It helps. Sometimes a Spider-Man villain shows up. Not even usually good ones.
Oh, wow.
Like, take the bad ones.
Second-rate Spider-Man villains.
Yeah. But from there, we can move on to letters to the editors.
A lot of questions, number one. Damn few answers.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
Make it so.
If you want to have your own question for us answered right here on this very show, you can write us in at editorsnotecomics@gmail.com. Ask whatever. I don't care. We'll answer it.
Whoa. Whatever?
I guess.
All right. Bring on those questions.
Don't get cheeky. Or do. I don't care.
There you go. See? New year, new you.
September.
Whatever. It's almost Chinese New Year, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. You have a 1 in 12 chance of being right.
Yeah. Who decided January had to be the beginning of the year?
I don't know.
Can't it be the equinox? Yeah, think about that.
Because we're stuck in a system that will never change.
Probably. It's too easy. Too convenient.
All right, question for this week. This one was about holiday shopping, which I guess is coming up. If you were to buy comics for a young teen and maybe an older teen who aren't that into reading, what would you get them? Also, this is hard for new readers because, you know, not everything is the start of a new story.
Oh, He-Man.
There are He-Man comics out there.
I mean, I don't know. I just want to say He-Man.
You could. I'd maybe say someone like in their 30s for that, just because you can play up a nostalgic factor. But it's not. Your mind's going to the right place. Sometimes a good gateway drug.
Garfield.
No.
Oh.
Always terrible, never funny.
That's not true.
A good gateway drug is usually something that you already know.
Mm.
Like, so I see a lot of kids, if you're talking to the younger age range, Star Wars is always popular.
Mm.
Star Wars sells really well with younger kids. When I say younger, I mean, I don't know, everyone. But it is, if you see, like, people like, oh man, they don't know, like, I don't want to read a comic. Like, oh my God, Star Wars! I mean, it's always there's always good answers for, like, oh, well, this is a really good thing to start on. I mean, New Frontier is always my easy go-to. But I also, I'm a big supporter of the idea of just try a bunch of stuff out.
See what sticks.
Basically, I treat it like channel surfing. People are like, well, I can't buy this. It's not a number one. Like, yeah, almost nothing is.
Yeah, just if you like it, you can go back and find out what happened, and you can hop on and go forward. It's like watching something on, like, picking up a TV show mid-run and then going back on Netflix and catching the first half.
Yeah, I equate it to channel surfing. Try out a couple of things, find what you like. Usually you can ask someone who works there, say they like these kind of things. What would they like?
Like you.
Yeah. Just you'll get a smorgasbord. A nice...
Like Templeton the Rat.
A refined collection of things that you could read.
Yes. I agree with everything you just said.
Also, when you're dealing with the younger kids, they definitely care less about continuity. You can just throw whatever you want for the most part, and they'll fill in the blanks.
Yeah. And you can always go back and fill in those blanks.
And there's also usually a recap page.
Also important.
That's just like, this is the story so far. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can get more specific into like, well, what are good things for first time readers and blah, blah. I just say try things out. And at this point, so many of these things are synonymous with any part of pop culture that people know who they are. At least, the superhero stuff.
Yes.
Like, well, they don't like superhero stuff, then buy Saga.
But
probably not for the young teen.
But there's some like things I would be like weary of. You hop into those comic books and you're like, but that's not how it was in the movie.
They bend over backwards to make things like they were in the movie.
Oh, well then, never mind. Don't listen to me.
These days.
That's all I have.
Yeah, people just ask whoever's working at a store. People will generally know. Just try stuff out, and people will usually be able to figure out their taste from there.
Also, the internet.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you can find stuff like, if you like this, you might also like this. But a lot of that stuff just seems to be people recycling lists that they found from other people. You just see a lot of the same crap over and over and over and over.
So really, at the end of the day, though, the person who's running your LCS is the best little piece of encyclopedic knowledge.
That's what I do. Yeah, and even I see, certainly not everyone on the internet, but whenever I see like these listicle things, I'm just like, that's either... You'll get information that's like, that's close, but I see that you copied this from like someone else or Wikipedia, or that's just flat wrong. Yeah, I just keep it local.
I like that.
It is a good gateway drug for reading.
I like that too. Reading is important.
Develops your mind.
Can't hurt it.
I'm sure there's some books that can hurt your mind.
Yeah, probably you're right. Flexing, engaging in reading is a good activity most of the time.
I don't know. Probably don't read O.J. Simpson's How I Murdered People book or Mein Kampf. Maybe skip those ones.
Yeah, probably right.
Those ones probably aren't helpful.
No, they probably aren't.
All right, so that'll do it for this week. Bring us home.
All right, if you like the show, go to patreon.com/editorsnotecomics and help us out. $1 a month gets you this show a whole day early. Lucky you. Plus, you get spoiler and spoiler-free reviews of Buffy, Firefly, and Angel from Zach and Emily. That's some really good stuff there. And if you're ever so lucky, maybe a Buffy back issue bin here and there, too. So
there's one up right now that's not coming out until later.
Ooh.
And another one getting filmed, recorded in the next couple days.
Ooh.
It won't be coming out till later for everyone.
Nice. You can visit Zach 210 Water Street in Hollowell, or you can find him on the road. He's going to a Comic-Con this weekend in New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Where in New Hampshire?
I don't remember. Granite State.
Manchester?
Maybe.
Manchester. I'm being told Manchester.
Not by me.
Oh, no. I heard upstairs.
Oh.
The brains of the operation is saying it's Manchester.
Cool.
There you go. So Manchester Comic-Con, the Granite State Comic-Con, and that's you'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
It's only a Saturday, Sunday show.
So you'll be there Saturday and Sunday, but you might be out and about Friday night in Manchester.
That I will.
There you go.
I got the hotel.
See? So you might be able to find Zach.
So actually, I won't be out and about. I'll probably go to dinner and then, get a bottle of wine and go back to the hotel.
Oh, is this where you asked me to watch your dog?
No, I'm covered.
Oh, okay. The store will be open, though, while you're gone.
Yep.
And normal hours, Friday, Saturday, not Sunday.
Still normal hours for Sunday.
Yeah.
Non-existent.
You can also visit him online, editorsnotecomics.com. He's on all of the social medias, Facebook and Instagram, Twitter. And that's really it. So not all of the social medias. Are you on TikTok yet?
I don't know what that is.
I just learned about this the other day. It's like a musical version of Snapchat. It's like really blowing up. All the kids are doing it, Zachary.
Okay.
I'm not, because I'm not one of the kids.
You're also not musical.
I like music.
You keep liking your 80s glam rock. All right, that will do. Oh, yeah, and you have a podcast.
Yep, the Coach's Room podcast. We've kind of run into a little bit of a wall here with both of us are in season. Very difficult to get one recorded, but we're hoping to have one out in the next week or so.
So if you want to hear coaches talk about coaching, well, don't do it while they're coaching, I guess.
It's very, hey, I heard you like coaching, so we got some coaches to coach you while you're coaching.
Mm. We'll be back next week.
And I'm on Twitter.
Okay, cool.
That's where
you said the name?
Yeah, no, that's where you say, and you're on Twitter.
And you're on Twitter.
At Junior Rich.
Great.
Thank you.
Next,
I'm just asking for a little recognition, that's all.
Next,
you always say, and you're on Twitter.
I forget.
You pimp me out.
All right, what's next week? I don't know, something. It'll be a surprise.
Mid-September. Something that involves the beginnings of maybe pumpkin spice lattes and hooded sweatshirts and crisp fall air and the beginning of foliage. Is there a foliage man?
No. I mean, I got October is when we'll do all the horror stuff. I don't remember what's for the rest of September.
Spooky season right around the corner.
But something you won't want to miss. I don't know what it is. I don't remember. It'll be fun, though. We'll be back.
All right. Stay classy, space. Oh, wait. Stay cool, space cats.
Don't even know your own nonsense.
Whatever. I'm working on it.